This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll take a look at Issue 22, the Cincinnati Parks Levy. First up, the three buildings on 4th Street that were once home to high-end fashion retailer Getting Jenny after the two companies merged in 1962, and more recently to discount retailer TJ Maxx, could soon have a new owner and a new life. Joining us this afternoon with a look at the history of the former Getting Jenny site and plans for its future are former Cincinnati Councilman Jim Tarbell, who's been hired as a preservation consultant to look into the history of the buildings, and also historian Bob Winberg. You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jim and Bob, good to see you this afternoon.
Nice to see you.
Nice to be here.
Jim, how did you become involved in this project?
The phone rang one day, and the owners of these buildings, the Sandler brothers, who had been involved in a variety of real estate projects over the years, were about the same age, and six to septuagenarians, and those three buildings had become vacant for the first time in 150 years, and so they were kind of at a loss as to exactly where to go. At this point, and they asked me if I would go down there and whisper to them.
A whisper?
Yeah.
So you're the building whisperer?
I'm the building whisperer. Okay. That's been a part of my my job now for several decades. Whenever things get a little bit quiet or I get a little bit nervous, I'll go try to find the vacant building that needs attention and have at it. So in any event, they asked me if I would go down there and whisper and see if the buildings would talk to me. So I ran down there. I was so excited about the opportunity of being involved in something that would pertain to the resurrection, the renovation of downtown, in any respect, in any context. But in this case, it's primarily a mixed-use retail project. And having grown up in Cincinnati and having been active by virtue of my father having his law office across the street at 4th and Vine when I was 6 years old, and going down there on a nightly basis to rescue him and drag him out and get him to come home for dinner, I became familiar with 4th Street, 4th and Vine, particularly as a kid.
So that's where these are. These are right around 4th and Vine.
Right in the middle of the block between Vine and Race. And 4th and Vine is pretty much the center of Cincinnati, historically, at the center of downtown. It's a block from Fountain Square, four blocks from the river.
How would people recognize these buildings today? Does it actually still have the Getting Jenny marker on the outside?
Well, there's actually a ghost sign that says Getting Jenny there. That's not easily readable. But the most important feature, other than the 19th century architecture that's still present on the second floor up, but there's a Rookwood facade that was applied to the older building in 1907 when Getting was coming here from New York to announce their arrival. They hired the Rookwood people to apply this very voluptuous piece of ceramic work that Rookwood was famous for. And so that's very conspicuous. There's only one, the only thing like it in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Bob, what's the historical significance of these buildings?
Well, first of all, 4th Street was the center of quite a bit of activity, commercial and historic. And to give you an idea, Dr. Drake had his office about in that same location way before those buildings were constructed, of course. Reuben Springer had his home across the street, and he was the man who donated the money for Music Hall. And
and Dr. Drake is associated with UC Health, is that right?
Dr. Drake was one of the first modern doctors, and he also was a booster of the city. He wrote Picture of Cincinnati, which was published in 1815. He was 30 years old and was credited with encouraging people to come here. And, of course, other familiar names such as Shillitoe's and Pogue's, and then Mitchell Rammelsberg Furniture Company was across the street. and then eventually McAlpin. So a lot of familiar names and a lot of Cincinnati history in this block. And then with the Gidding building, it was David Sinton who had the original building constructed in the 1880s. And then his son-in-law, Charles P. Taft, had the building renovated for Gidding and had Wareham, the artist from Rookwood, put on the facade. So there's lots of history. The building next door that was Jenny was at one time the site of LeBoutier and Simpson dry goods store, and the Young Men's Athletic Club, which was a forerunner of the Cincinnati Athletic Club, and quite an interesting building, a Romanesque Revival style building. And then following LeBoutier came the Third National Bank, which was, of course, the parent organization of what we know as Fifth Third Bank. And they decided to put Fifth National Bank's name ahead because Third Fifth didn't sound as good as Fifth Third. But that's why there's such a bank called Fifth Third, because it was two banks, Third National and Fifth National, that joined together. And they built that building in after LeBoutier closed, and they tore down the old building in that exact space and built their bank building in 1907. And the main structure is what's there today. The facade was just changed when Jenny took over the space.
So it's been a lot of different things. And Jim, what kind of stories are you hearing from the building? You're saying you're the building whisperer. What's it telling you?
Well,
what are you seeing?
It wants to sing again. I mean, they want to sing. They want to sing. They want to dance. They want to show movies. They want to eat, drink. You know, they're all of those things that were so much a part of life not that long ago in Cincinnati and have suffered. Starting several decades ago when people were moving out of downtown, the beauty of this whole scenario, and this is just a small part, is that people now are moving back to Cincinnati, back to downtown, not just over the Rhine, which is getting, you know, so much of the attention, rightfully so. And having been through four decades of that myself and over the Rhine, being able to expand the horizons and come far closer to the river now with downtown is real exciting. There are somewhere in the order of 1,200 housing units that have been added in the last decade within walking distance of 4th and Vine, and at least another 1,000 that are on the drawing board right now. So the reason why I think the retail, commercial, but mostly retail program suffered over the last couple of decades is people moving out of of town, out to the suburbs. And you can't have a retail program worth its salt without having people living close by. And now that's happening. So it's a very exciting time to be in downtown Cincinnati.
Jim, you say the minute you got that phone call, you ran right down there.
Yeah.
You started digging into this building to find out its story. Right. What kinds of things have you seen? Have you actually been taking parts of it out to look in there, see what the drywall is hiding, that kind of thing?
Literally taking it apart, taking the paneling down to discover 19th century brick structures, and taking down drop ceilings to find a 50-foot ceiling with the whole network of skylights. The entire ceiling was skylights in the late 1900s, in the late 1800s. And that's all been covered up over the years, but the fundamental aspects of the construction are still there. And whether the new user chooses to use them or not remains to be seen, but at least we now know that they're there. I think the fact of the matter is that that's what's so much in vogue now, is reclaiming historical artifacts and incorporating them in new programs. So you've got a sense of history. Architecture from another era many times was more attractive than what we have today. In this case, what's really exciting for me is that this dovetails into the crew tower. There's literally a passageway, an entrance way from the back of these buildings into the heart of the arcade at the crew tower, which has a new owner, a native Cincinnati that bought the crew tower because he's in love with the crew tower and is gradually fixing it up. And then when you go through the arcade at the crew tower, on the other side is Macy's.
So you're saying this could all be linked up?
Absolutely. It is linked up now physically right now.
And just has to be reopened?
Correct. And, I mean, having a spiritual awakening, I think, is part of this exercise of trying to pull people together and share a vision about what the future of retail and entertainment can be downtown.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Bob, why do you think it's important to preserve the history of these buildings?
Well, as I said, so much of the city's history is encapsulated in that one block from Vine to Race, and so many familiar names. As I said, Ruben Springer and the Pogues and Shillitoe's started there. And then Mitchell Rammelsberg, the furniture company, which was renowned, if not just in the country, in the world for the furniture. So many other artists. And one interesting point about the block is an older building, Second Presbyterian Church, with their iconic church tower, had a clock in it. And that church tower is featured in Fontaine and Porter's panoramic photo of the riverfront. And recently, the library, Public Library of Cincinnati, had the photo enlarged so that you could see the clock on that church tower. And that tells them when that photo was taken on a Sunday. And they can see from that clock tower when that photo was taken. And the other thing about it is that Fontaine and Porter had their photographic studio across the street from the church. So there, in a block like in downtown, see, I wrote a book on Over the Rhine and breweries and that, and you have to go far afield and find all this information. In this one block, there's so much history.
So many stories in that one spot.
And there's more and more and more.
That daguerreotype, Mark, was in the annals of photography probably as important as almost any evolution of photography that we can point to. And the studio, Fontaine, and where it was just a few doors down from what we're talking about. And just to give you an idea what Cincinnati was all about, the PNC Bank building that we know to be PNC now at 4th and Vine on the south side, that extra tall building, second only to the Crew Tower and the American Building, of course, was, when it was built in 1912, was the tallest building in the United States outside of New York City. And there's stuff like that all over the place down there. And so we don't have to make anything up about this being an important place, you know, to get things going.
And we'll continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419.
Sponsored by the Hale and
7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us this afternoon with a look at the history of the former Getting Jenny site and possible plans for its future, our former Cincinnati Councilman Jim Tarbell, who's been hired as a preservation consultant to look into the history of the buildings. Also joining us, historian Bob Winberg. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jim, what's the current status of the sale of these buildings? Where does that stand?
Oh, they're available.
Okay.
Just give us a call. I mean, they're about 55,000 square feet. They're three buildings and every variety of size and space you can think of in a retail setting in the heart of the city.
But you have a buyer at this point lined
up? We're very close to having a major movie company come to that space with a full-service restaurant, a full-service bar, an entertainment center, if you will. And it lends itself beautifully for something like that. And we don't have anything like that downtown or in the center city, for that matter. But at the last minute, it turns out that the lawyers stepped in and said that the non-compete between this company and AMC theaters was alive and well in this scenario, in that...
Yeah, because the Sandlers they have what's called 75 Entertainment, I think is the name.
It wasn't that. It was Newport on the Levee.
Okay.
And the AMC film studios, the theaters over there, fell into the non-compete, even though one could argue these are really going to be two different markets if you have theater on 4th Street. But anyway, the lawyers said no. So we're starting over on that one. But that's the kind of interest there is. There is some interest in commercial office activity. But I think the greatest interest right now is reviving it as a marketplace with mixed use, entertainment, food. I think food is likely to be an important part of it regardless.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Nelson in Clifton. Hi, Nelson.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, it's really nice to remind Cincinnatians of the unique artifacts they have in these buildings downtown. You can see the movie companies showing interest right now, and they should be preserved. I don't know if Jim and the other guy that were
Jim and Bob,
known
and Bob.
About mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with my degree in fine arts, Bachelor of Fine Arts, I wound up heavily involved in the restoration of the Art Museum and the Museum Center and the Crew Tower throughout since actually the 60s.
And Nelson, you bring up a good point too, Nelson. I mean, it's and Jim and I had talked about this earlier. It's great, Jim, to see these artifacts and this history brought to light, because I think sometimes as Cincinnatians, we just don't appreciate it.
Well, they just as one example, the arcade at the Crew Tower, when it was built, was the largest amount of retail under one roof in North America. It was this kind of the stepchild, the preview of coming attractions for the Rockefeller Center in New York and others. It's a standalone historical success, and it's currently in very nice shape. It's still very much like it was when it was first built in 1933. It extends from Vine all the way to Race, and I think there's somewhere in the order of 26 storefronts there, ripe and ready to go. Most of them are occupied, but it's suffered over the years, and it's in the midst of a rebuilding program. And the same thing goes for Macy's. Macy's is reevaluating their Center City properties. And I think this being hometown for Federated department stores, of which Macy's a part, I think you're going to see some very forthright activity at Macy's also.
Nelson, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Becky in Loveland. Hi, Becky.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to briefly say that I was a buyer for Getting Jenny back when Barry Miller owned it.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting. I don't know if people in Cincinnati remember the just the fun of walking into Getting's. It was, you'd smell odorless coming out of the door, and there was a sense of you were in a different place, when you went in there. And as you went up the floors, of course, everything got more expensive. When you were on there weren't any clothing out. You had to come in and say what you wanted to see, and then they would bring it out and show it to you.
That's so a whole other world.
It was. But it was a lot of fun, and I just hope that you all can bring something exciting back into those buildings.
Becky, what year were you a buyer for them?
Oh, gee, I knew you were going to ask me that. Well, let's see.
They became Getting Jenny in 62.
I was about, I guess, 26 when I was a buyer back then. And, you know, we flew to New York all the time. And when we said that we were from Giddings, of course, you know, everybody showed us their best, their finery. So it was exciting. And I would love to see something fun in those buildings again.
Becky, thank you so much for the phone call.
Okay, thank you.
Every day, Shirley Fishel just dropped in the other day, Becky, who is one of the families that owned Gidding, I think, right before Barry Miller. And Shirley was the proprietor of Henry Harris, of course, you remember, had a similar kind of history. It was in the arcade of the Crewe Tower. And that's what keeps me going. There's hardly a day goes by somebody doesn't drop in with a story about the wonders of the history of those buildings. I witnessed what she's talking about with the atomizers spraying perfume out onto the sidewalk when I was a kid. When I was 6, 7, 8 years old, picking up our father across the street from his office. And we'd have to, while we were waiting for him, my mother would shoot us out of the car, and we'd putz around on the sidewalk where Giddings was spraying perfume out on the sidewalk. I mean, it was like Disneyland down there, you know. It's just, and the memories never quit. I was at Hyde Park Farmers Market a few Sundays ago, speaking to one of the farmers, and telling a friend of mine who was shopping there about what's going on 4th Street, and the farmer said, "Oh, well, that's my great uncle's family, the Jenny family," and then about a week later, 2 weeks later, a group of 7 people come in the door, and they're the Jenny family. 3 generations of the Jenny family happened to be in Cincinnati visiting relatives and came down and insisted on a tour, and had lots of stories.
Like Bob was saying, there's all kinds of history and stories packed into this small area.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Former Cincinnati Councilman Jim Tarbell, who's been hired as a preservation consultant for the Gidding Jenny Project, and historian Bob Winberg. Coming up, we'll take a look at the Cincinnati Parks Levy. Thanks to Amanda Leibovich for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. This is Cincinnati Edition.